The Tom Woods Show, episode 1782.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here. The Tom Woods Show.
Hi, everybody. Tom Woods here. Well, I'm going to spend today saying a little bit about what happened to my video on Facebook. It's still available to watch on YouTube. But this is a video of a talk I gave at the Mises Institute's Ron Paul Symposium back on November 7th this year. And I was, of course, talking about this general topic. The title of the video, linked on the show notes page, by the way, tomwoods.com/1782, is The COVID Cult. And unlike my other two videos on the subject, this one is rather short, just barely 20 minutes. And it had a great many views. I haven't checked today, but it's around 750,000 on YouTube. And then there was a Facebook version apart from YouTube that had another 450,000. So it's been viewed quite a lot. And then all of a sudden, people sharing the video on Facebook found that attached to the video was a warning that the contents of the video were, quote, partly false. So I thought, what? How could this possibly be partly false? What are you talking about? I cite absolutely everything. I give citations for everything I'm saying. Everything I'm saying seems so obvious. I can't, it would be like me saying, you know, John Adams was the second president of the United States and then being told that's partly false. What are you talking about? So I went and looked, and what I was expecting to find was a generic link to an article saying that lockdowns are actually a great thing and they work really well. And instead, it wasn't a generic link. It was a link to a piece specifically addressing my video and the points made in there. So they actually went to the trouble to try, at least, to refute the claims in my video. So in a way, I was sort of flattered that they thought this needed more than just a generic response. But of course, it now means that anybody who tries to share that video on Facebook will get this ridiculous warning attached to it. I don't know if that works in comments sections. I think in the comments, you can still post it and not be molested. But I think as a general post, you're going to find this is attached to it. So I want to go through that. I have another video that will be coming out in a matter of days of the talk I gave to the state legislators I told you about. I spoke to a room of just about 100 state legislators who were from around the country. The event took place here in Florida, but the legislators were from around the country, and I really gave them a lot of good arguments, but also a pep talk about the need for them to be the voice of the voiceless. And I'm looking forward to having that one go up. And it also addresses some of this stuff raised in the alleged fact check. So let's go through. And it's funny that a lot of these claims made against my video are points that I've made over and over and over. So it's just kind of weird that I even have to take the time to do it. I'm going to go in just in whatever order I feel like in answering their arguments. I'm not going to go through point by point in order. I'll get to the points, but I'm going to go through them in a different order just to try to make it a little bit more coherent. So the claim that of mine that they claim to be mostly accurate is lockdowns have negative socioeconomic effects and can cause additional deaths. So they actually had the decency to claim that that was mostly accurate, but then they begin with this. Contrary to what the video suggests, public health authorities like the WHO acknowledge the negative socioeconomic impact that lockdowns can have, and they link to a statement from the World Health Organization. You know when that statement was made? In the middle of October. In the middle of October, they finally got around to saying, you know, this has some really bad consequences. And I'm supposed to take that as, you see, you stupid head? They do acknowledge that lockdowns have health consequences. Well, great. What would that have been? 7 months later, they finally get around to it. And now don't quote me on this one, because this I haven't double checked, but I've followed this stuff pretty closely, so I think I'm right. I think it was also October that for the first time, even Dr. Fauci finally got around to admitting that there might be side effects of lockdowns. So it took them long enough, and it took them so long that now it's burned into the minds of most people that lockdowns are a good idea, opposed only by people who hate science. And so good luck trying to convince them that there are problems of lockdowns now. So, thanks for your extremely belated statements after you've already baked in millions of additional deaths because of the lockdowns. And I can defend that statement very, very easily. Again, in my blog post, Death by Lockdown, which is linked at tomwoods.com/1782. Now, also in this section, they talk about so-called deaths of despair. And that's a term that refers to suicide and drug and alcohol overdoses. And I said in my video that given that I was speaking for only 20 minutes, I was going to run really quickly through a list of different ways lockdowns had had negative effects on society and on individuals. And I said, but if you want to see the full elaboration of these points, along with links to mainstream sources backing up each one, then you should go to my resource page. Now, they ignored all that, and they say, although Woods claims that lockdowns caused an estimated 75,000 excess deaths of despair, there is currently no official data from that time period to support this claim. Okay, well, what I actually said was that a study, and it's a study that's cited by every mainstream source, I'll link on the show notes page to CBS News citing this study from the Wellbeing Trust in California, that estimated a projected additional 75,000 deaths of despair as a result of all this. Now, yes, of course, that's a projection. It hasn't happened yet. I know. I said that. It's estimated that this will happen. Now, meanwhile, so they then take that as being partly false. What, because it's an estimate? Or they don't even mention the Wellbeing Trust. So I don't even think they know the study I'm referring to because they didn't bother to go to the resource page I told people to go to because I have to race through this material. So they can make wild projections all day long about, for example, mortality in Sweden. Remember the official models telling us that if Sweden didn't lock down hard, they were going to have 96,000 deaths by June, and instead they had had 4,000? Well, are they going to fact check that? Are they going to go back and say, well, you shouldn't say 96,000 deaths because there's no data on that yet. We don't have the data on that yet. That's just a projection. Yeah, I know that, but that's what a projection does, right? It makes an estimate about the future. So, all right, let's move on to what they have to say about the Great Barrington Declaration. Now, I did an episode on that. And I hope most people listening know what the Great Barrington Declaration is. The Great Barrington is a little town in western Massachusetts, and it's the site where three experts, Martin Kulldorff of Harvard Medical School, Jay Bhattacharya of Stanford, and Sunitra Gupta of Oxford, together jointly signed a statement known as the Great Barrington Declaration, warning of the public health effects of lockdowns, saying that lockdowns have to be ruled out, and arguing that we should instead of this ridiculous one-size-fits-all policy, substituting a policy that they call focused protection, where you make special consideration for people who are likely to be at risk and you let other people live their lives. And they justified that position. And as I've repeated over and over, and they didn't say anything about this in the fact check, Martin Kulldorff at Harvard says that in talking to other infectious disease epidemiologists, he says he finds that a majority of them favor precisely that approach rather than lockdowns. Not a word about that in the alleged fact check. Well, anyway, that statement has since been signed by many hundreds of thousands of people. You should go sign it at gbdeclaration.org. Of those three scientists, by the way, two of them are clearly on the left. Professor Gupta at Oxford made that clear, just came right out and said that in the press over there, that if you look at my politics, they're entirely left-wing. I'm pretty certain Martin Kulldorff is on the left. So this is not some right-wing conspiracy or anything like that. So I happened to make mention of it. In fact, I don't even think I mentioned it by name. I referred to the three of them. I don't even think I gave their names. And they say this: Woods uses a mix of accurate information and flawed reasoning to support the so-called Great Barrington Declaration, an October 4th, 2020 statement from the American Institute for Economic Research in Great Barrington that advocates for herd immunity over lockdowns and focused protection of the vulnerable population. Now, here is their entire fact check of this. You ready? As PolitiFact explained in this review, health officials and scientists worldwide criticized this statement for being dangerous, scientifically problematic, and unethical. Okay, so that's what? That's the fact check that there are people in the world who disagree with the strategy, so you're going to fact check that because some people disagree? Well, these people disagree with them, so do we fact check them? If those people go around questioning the Great Barrington Declaration, do they get fact checked? Because, well, there are other great experts who say that lockdowns are dangerous, scientifically problematic, and unethical. Isn't it funny that the fact checking always goes only one way? It's always in favor of ruining people's lives and disrupting society. Always. Always, always. Never the other way. All right, let's get to another claim. They say that I, quote, misrepresent a complex reality when it comes to the question of masks. And here's how they characterize my argument. In the second part of the video, Woods claims that face masks are ineffective at reducing the spread of COVID-19 by comparing the number of COVID-19 cases per million in some European countries and U.S. states that implemented the use of face masks and others that did not. Okay, there is a little bit of that in the charts, and I can absolutely justify that. But as you could see, the general point was not primarily to make comparisons between one country and another, but to make comparisons between one country and itself. What they leave out of this fact check are all the slides where I said, here is a graph showing the trend in cases over time in a particular country. So Spain, Austria, Germany, France, Italy, the UK, Belgium. And I want you to try to figure out where you think the mask mandate went into effect. And every time, it's completely random. You might think, okay, they must have put the mask mandate way, way up at the top there, and then gradually the cases started to come down. But it's never that. It's essentially never that. So what could be going on here? So that was the primary point I was making. And what I was really driving at, and again, this is also not included, was that this definitively disproves the claim by Redfield, the director of the CDC, that I think he said at one time 4 to 8 weeks, another time 4 to 6 weeks of mask wearing should be enough to get things under control where we want them. And another time he said that masks were better than a vaccine. Well, the thing is, if they're better than a vaccine and it takes 4 to 6 weeks of wearing them to get cases down, and the U.S. is at 88% compliance now, and we were told that 80% compliance would be sufficient, and the cases are going up, I think that's definitively disproved. So the point is, I'm showing different countries where they all did that. They did it for as long or longer than was urged by the CDC director, and we don't see a dramatic result. We should see a dramatic result. Now, I understand. I'm not an idiot. I understand that there are other factors at work other than whether they wear masks or not. I understand that there are many factors at work. But if masks are as definitive a measure, if they're as effective as we've been told, then it should show up on the graphs. It should. We should see a clear, unmistakable change in the trend. And we do not see that. So therefore, this is not even mentioned in the fact check. We clearly don't see that. And incidentally, Michael Osterholm, who is on Joe Biden's COVID team, even said that that statement by the CDC director was, quote, unfortunate. Well, unfortunate is academic speak for BS. Okay, so even Michael Osterholm was fact-checking the CDC director on this. So now, what's Facebook supposed to do now? They're going to fact-check Michael Osterholm? No, the CDC director is correct. Don't worry about what your lying eyes are telling you on those charts. 4 to 6 weeks is all we need. I was definitively showing that's not true. But then, yes, I did have a couple of cases where I compared one place with another, a place where they're not really wearing them to a place where they're wearing them like crazy. And then in Europe, I compared a bunch of countries that have been wearing them for months with countries that basically don't wear them. And yes, of course, there are many other factors that are at work. But again, the point is, if masks play such a significant role, as we've been told over and over again by our own CDC director, the chart should not look like this. Or there better be some incredibly overwhelmingly overriding explanation for why the charts do look like this. That's my point. Well, then they say he's cherry-picking the countries. He doesn't include countries that did wear masks and had low death rates. And all those countries are in Asia. And so, of course, I'm trying to compare countries that might be culturally similar in one degree or another. But they want me to compare, the Czech Republic with Japan or something. Now, I personally think, and I think there's growing evidence to suggest, that what we're seeing in some of these Asian countries is being used as a political weapon to say the stupid West is too individualistic. Can you believe they actually think Europe is too individualistic? And because of that, they won't respond in the nice collectivist way that they did in Asia, and therefore we can't get the good results they did in Asia. The thing is, the policies pursued in these Asian countries have been wildly different from one another, and yet the results have been largely the same. So I think it's going to turn out, and as I say, I think there's increasing evidence for this, to be the case that pre-existing immunity to this virus is not homogeneously spread around the world. And I think that's what they're primarily dealing with. Because, you know, I can't respect people who come along and say, look at Japan did really well and they wore masks. Now, even Japan wearing masks is a complex claim for a number of reasons. But let's stipulate for the sake of argument that Japan wore masks. The point is this. Back in April, the people who now say, oh, Japan did really well because they did such and such, they weren't saying that at the time. In April, they were absolutely not telling us, listen, I know Japan's having only a half-hearted lockdown, but don't worry, they're wearing masks, and the masks are going to see them through. This very fact check tells me that, look, Woods is not being fair because masks aren't the only thing you need to do. You need to do other things. I understand that. I was making the point that the CDC guy clearly can't be right, but I get that there are other things that the central planners might conceivably want to do. It's just that Japan didn't really do any of them, and so all they can fall back on now is masks. So they say there's more to life than masks. But then they kind of turn around and say, but see, Japan did pretty well by wearing masks. Japan didn't really do the lockdown that everybody says was necessary. They had a very half-hearted lockdown and some recommendations. And so when we go back to April, were these people saying to us, oh, don't worry, Japan will be fine because they're wearing masks? You know, masks are going to solve it. No, they were saying, in fact, this is what we read in Science, that publication, in April. Headline, did Japan miss its chance to keep the coronavirus in check? So notice they don't answer that with, no, don't worry about it, they're wearing masks. They didn't say that. The Washington Post, Japan's coronavirus response is too little, too late. Now, does that sound like they're saying, okay, Japan may not be doing all the other things you need to do, but since they wore masks, that should see them through. They thought Japan was going to get killed. Another headline, how Shinzo Abe has fumbled Japan's coronavirus response. That doesn't sound like, well, don't worry about it, Japan's wearing masks. Okay, so you don't get to scream at the top of your lungs about Japan doing the wrong thing for weeks and weeks and weeks, screaming because Japan didn't do what the idiotic West did. And then when Japan does fine, as we all said they would, I said they'd be fine. You don't get to turn around and act as if Japan is a piece of evidence for your side after telling us for weeks and weeks and weeks that Japan didn't do any of the things in addition to mask wearing that needed to be done. And that's why they were going to suffer so badly. You cannot, after having done that, turn around and say, well, they wore masks, so that's why they did well. They were wearing masks at the time you were telling us that they were all going to die. So your opinion on Japan means nothing. Then they say, Woods frames lockdowns as a primary recommended measure to mitigate the spread of COVID-19. However, public health authorities like the World Health Organization advise using strict lockdowns only in a localized and time-limited fashion. Instead, they recommend implementing other public health measures such as efficient testing, contact tracing, and isolation. Okay, well, Japan, which they keep wanting to point to, did not do the widespread testing. They just didn't. Maybe they did 5%, 10% as much testing as South Korea did. They just didn't do it. They didn't fanatically test asymptomatics. So again, why are they throwing Japan at me? I should be throwing Japan at them. And then in terms of contact tracing, oh my gosh, what a fiasco. When you have this number of cases, forget about it. But not to mention, it's actually very difficult to use that tactic in this particular situation. And there is a fascinating article that just appeared in the Los Angeles Times. I'll link to it at tomwoods.com/1782. The headline is this, LA officials are still not sure how or why COVID cases are skyrocketing. It's a huge handicap. So I want to read you a few excerpts from this. They're talking about city officials. Quote, they don't fully understand why so many people are becoming infected. And the mayor said, the irony about right now is we're approaching our worst numbers with the same things open as when we had our best numbers. And then the LA Times itself says, the virus itself hasn't changed and there has been little relaxation of the rules. Interviews conducted with people who have recently tested positive for the coronavirus don't show any significant shifts in behavior compared with a month ago, such as more visits to restaurants or other businesses. Wasn't that funny? No significant shifts in behavior, and yet a rise in cases. Huh. It's almost like virus gonna virus. Huh? How about that? So no matter how much you so you could lock these people down, but they were already not going anywhere, and the cases were going up. Well, so much for, well, you keep them in their houses, the cases, yeah. Okay, well, we're looking at it with our own eyes, not with mathematical models that have been preposterously wrong over and over again. We're looking at this with our own eyes, with city officials who are admitting, we don't know what's going on here. No one's doing anything. And they haven't changed their behavior, and the cases are rising. Okay, they don't know how to explain it. They actually have enough humility to say they don't know how to explain. I think there are peculiar features of this virus that we're not going to be understanding for a long time that will help to account for some of this. So then the other problem is, for the vast majority of people sick with COVID-19, they say, officials cannot determine where they contracted the virus. So there goes your big, well, the WHO says not just lockdowns, but also this will help. Okay, the problem is, the chief medical officer says, very often these reported places people have been, we have no knowledge of other people there being infected. So they don't know, and we don't know where they got the infection. We certainly wish we had a good answer. Hey, everybody, we're going to take a quick break to thank our amazing sponsor, the official coffee of the Tom Woods Show, Press House Coffee. And I want to remind you that with the holiday season coming, you're tempted to give people terrible gifts that they're going to hate and want to throw away, but they have to keep them around because they don't want to hurt your feelings. Well, how about this for something that'll surprise and delight them every single month? Press House Coffee has an amazing program, the Roaster's Choice program, where you get an amazing coffee surprise every month. Now, I've told you that Press House Coffee converted me, a non-coffee drinker, into a coffee drinker, because it's so delicious. And all the flavors, it's not some chemical sprayed onto the coffee. It's different kinds of coffee expertly blended together to approximate amazing flavors like my favorite key lime pie. Well, with a Roaster's Choice subscription, you or your loved one can discover great coffees from around the world, one hand-selected bean at a time delivered right to your door. Tell them what you think of each one, and then you get future selections curated just for you as they learn your favorites. Or just let their roaster share whatever unique single-origin bean he's most excited about right now. We'll get 20% off your first order and a chance to win a year of free coffee by using promo code WOODS at checkout. That's 20% off your first order and a chance to win a year of free coffee when you use promo code WOODS at PressHouseCoffee.com. And then the issue of how many people respond when a contact tracer reaches them. So they say that in LA County, about 63% of people agree to complete the interview, which is, I think, a high number compared to other places. So they started offering $20 gift cards to people who agreed to be interviewed. But here's the thing, you couple this contact tracing with the PCR testing. We did an episode of that on the Tom Woods Show. I'll link to that episode at tomwoods.com/1782. And I think most people listening to this know the problems with that, that the cycle thresholds they're using for these tests in many different testing locations are such that they are revealing results that are not helpful. They're finding viral fragments that are not infectious, that can't do anything. And a lot of people realize this, I think. And so they know that if they get told they have a positive test, that all their friends now are going to have to quarantine for 14 days, even though the test could be completely meaningless. And the New York Times found that in some jurisdictions, the meaninglessness percentage was at 90%. I mean, that's a huge, like around Massachusetts, 90% of the tests that were positive were of people who were not infectious. So yeah, good luck with contact tracing when the tests are so bad that they're giving you such bogus results that nobody wants to consent to the tracing because they know all their friends and contacts are going to have to isolate for 14 days for what is clearly no good reason. So there goes the response to this part of the fact check. I mean, good luck with that strategy, right? Well, the health officials recommend so-and-so. Okay, well, health officials are also saying, we don't know what to do with this now at this point. We're throwing our hands up in the air. We can't understand why the cases are rising. The chief medical officer said that there's been a small increase in the percentage of people who had attended a social gathering where someone else had COVID, but it was from less than 1% to 1.5%. And so in the understatement of the century, he said, that certainly doesn't explain the jump. Yeah, you think? And then finally, I have this claim that no, lockdowns do work. They do have a lot of great, they show a lot of great results. But our friend Jeremy Hammond, who's been on the show before, emailed me about this. Unsolicited, actually. So I really appreciate that. because he also has been following this very closely and doing a lot of great work. And for every one of the alleged studies they can show claiming that lockdowns did a lot of good, we can find as many or more totally mainstream studies showing the opposite or showing that there's clearly no effect. And I've talked about a number of those in some of the writing I've done and on this program and in the book, The Price of Panic. I talked to Jay Richards about that, showing that they actually don't have the effects that are claimed for them. And in the talk that I gave to the legislators, I'm going to have that as an episode this week. I actually go through what's been going on recently in Europe, where they're going to try to claim that lockdowns brought the cases down there. But the thing is, you cannot let these people get away with that. You look at the dates closely, and you see that actually the numbers were coming down before the lockdown. Because remember, you have to factor in the lag between in the time of infection and then symptoms and then in the hospital and then death and all that. You factor that in. It's clear that it was trending downward already before these lockdowns. One of the articles that they cite in the fact check has Neil Ferguson as an author. You know, this is the guy who thought hundreds of millions were going to die from this or that virus over the years. I don't know how the guy kept a job. And he's the one who came up with ridiculous estimates for places around the world. And most of the other authors are from Imperial College, which is where these crazy estimates came from. And this is what Jeremy says. They state explicitly that their model, and so this is all modeling, there's modeling that but basically what they wind up doing is they put into the model that lockdowns work. And then they model it and they say, look at how great they worked. I mean, you think I'm joking. So he says, they state explicitly their model, quote, assumes that changes in RT, time-varying reproduction number, are an immediate response to interventions rather than gradual changes in behavior. And as he says, in other words, they begged the question. They assumed the proposition to be proven that the lockdowns were responsible for reductions in transmission in their premise. But I'll cite a couple of articles on the show notes page that show the opposite by actually looking at reality, not speculating about what might have been in some model dreamed up by some mathematician. Because models dreamed up by mathematicians have been wildly inaccurate because they made wild assumptions about the nature of the virus and people's susceptibility to it that led to these crazy exponential numbers that had no basis in reality. And interestingly, Jeremy found that one of the studies cited by the CDC in support of universal masking also, and here's the part the CDC didn't mention, found no significant effect of lockdowns on per capita mortality, looking at 200 countries. How about that? Now, so in other words, these are the people who are going to accuse me of cherry picking. And yet the study that they want to cite, they pick the study written by Neil Ferguson. I mean, that's a slight cherry pick. And that is the last cherry I would want to pick after the track record that bozo has had. So Jeremy, by the way, you can follow him at jeremyrhammond.com. So I appreciate the links he sent me. Oh, and I guess there's one more thing. I was explaining to people that there's no clear connection between cases and deaths. And they dispute that, but I don't even understand what they're saying in their response because it has nothing to do with the point. The point is there is no necessary connection. And that's what Martin Kulldorff of Harvard Medical School said on the show. It's why you shouldn't bother following cases. Because it depends on who the cases are. If they're all college kids, then that's not going to amount to anything. If it's a nursing home, then it is. So that's the point. And you can look at the wildly divergent number of cases versus deaths even in Europe right now. Even though they are experiencing a good number of deaths, the cases are absolutely through the roof. So that shows that there is a divergence between the two. But we've seen this phenomenon over and over again. I mean, maybe you've heard me mention the incident involving Hong Kong back early in the pandemic when they had a doubling of cases in 1 week and the headlines were screaming about the consequences for Hong Kong. Again, the claim being Hong Kong didn't do enough. They didn't do what the West did. Okay, so this claim that in Asian countries they did all these crazy things and we're too stupid to do them. No, that was not what they were saying at the time. Absolutely not. They were saying that Hong Kong got to be too lax, and now the virus is going to get them. So cases doubled, and then 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks later, how many additional deaths had they had? Zero. So yeah, I'd say that shows there's no necessary connection between cases and deaths. Yeah, yep. And I don't have to do some imaginary modeling to make that point. I can give you a real life example right there. So a couple things to wrap up with. TomWoods.com/1782. We'll have some links for those of you who'd like to look into any of this further. Then secondly, this Facebook thing was ridiculous that they did this. It's unbelievable that this happened. So I have moved my private group, the Tom Woods Show Elite, off Facebook. I'm still on there just for personal reasons, but my group is on MeWe now, and it's going fine. So if you like and appreciate what I'm doing and you would like to have some nice camaraderie with some intelligent, decent people who won't call you a grandma killer, and you don't want to have anything to do with Zuckerberg, well, I have just the thing for you. It's called the Tom Woods Show Elite, and I want and need you in there. And you can get in there through supportinglisteners.com, and I look forward to seeing you in there and generating an alternative source for camaraderie and friendship and connection away from the crazed, lunatic suppression of information that's going on Facebook. So I hope to see you there, supportinglisteners.com. We'll see you tomorrow.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit TomWoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.
Like the sound of the Tom Woods Show? My audio production is provided by Podsworth Media. Check them out at podsworth.com.